Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Hour number two here on the firm of Harrison Meringue here on a Monday morning. No Harris. He is out all week here on Christmas week. I will be here today and tomorrow, and then we pack it up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Christmas. I will be out Monday and Tuesday, and hopefully not Wednesday, but I'm having surgery on Christmas Eve, so we're going to play that one by ear and see just how jacked up I get. So, speaking of getting jacked up, college football,
I still remember a couple of those shows after your hip surgery.
We did the first ones. We did check-ins from home, and Dusty would text me with, "How you feeling?" I'm like, "Good.
I'm great.
I'm
man.
Great." Yeah, they gave me the fentanyl for the first couple of days because they wanted me drooling on myself. And then I did a couple where it was just heavy doses of Percocet. And then when I finally came back in the studio, my first day back, I remember sitting in that chair, grabbing three Percocet and chewing them up because I was in so much pain. And Dusty looked at me like, "You good?" I'm like, "I already took three." He's like, "Wait, what?" I'm like, "Brother, I've taken these things like Skittles for the last 20 years. The only thing I'm doing is keeping myself upright."
Next thing we know, we're going to find you over there sitting in your chair like Stephen Hawking.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I've mentioned this before. It's not a good thing. I have taken so many painkillers over the last 20 years. I don't even get to enjoy them anymore. Yeah. Like, it is like, it's not quite, but it's like me taking Advil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get to like, quote unquote, feel anything right out of them anymore.
Yeah.
Every 6 months or so, I switch up what I'm taking, whether it's Percocet, hydrocodone, or oxys. They just kind of flip me through them so the tolerance doesn't build up. I had to do a bunch of labs for the surgery I'm having right now. And, you know, they do all the blood work and kidney and liver tests and all those kind of things. And when I told them how many painkillers I'd probably taken over the last 20 years, they're like, "How are you not in like what is it, renal failure?" I'm like, "I got lucky."
Right.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. I thankfully, because of the hip surgeries, I don't have to just chew them up all the time. I have days that come and go with them. But yeah, here's a new little change for you. I'm having the I mentioned this before. I have a deviated septum. I've had it my whole life. I had one of those situations where I was at the doctor 3 weeks ago. And we were doing the kind of an end of year checkup. I was having some things, you know, before the end of the year, like, "Hey, you know, everything's paid up, so let's make sure we can get anything done we need to get done before the end of the year."
Mm-hmm.
And doctor hits me with, "Anything else?" I go, "Well, you know what, man, I've lost a ton of weight. I'm back to running. And, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I was in stupid good shape, you know, I was running 10, 12 miles a day. I could do that with a 45 pound plate carrier vest on. And even back then, I had to run through my mouth with my mouth open like a Neanderthal."
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I was like, I've mentioned this story. Like, I had a lieutenant who I loved to death, but he was old school. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who gave me multiple wall-to-wall counseling situations, right? And I thank God for him because it humbled me and it got me to learn things that I would not have learned otherwise. But he taped my mouth closed when I was running once.
That sounds safe.
Well, I did it, and I got to the end of it, and I about near blacked out.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I thought bluntly that I was just a bitch. Like, that's, I just, like, he, breathe through your nose, breathe through your nose, breathe through your nose. And I just, I did, but I almost blacked, like, when I say I almost blacked out, I mean, fell to my knees, gasped for air for about 5 to 7 minutes.
He, like, tried to pull a Brian Kelly on you and be like, you're going to get up in that scissor lift.
Yeah.
Hope you all had a shitty day.
Pretty much. Because I had never complained about it. I just did what I needed to do, which was run with my mouth open.
Right.
And that should have been the trigger of something's wrong, but, you know, the masculinity part of the military.
You're a dumb kid.
Yeah, and that part of it, too, was like, I just, my lungs suck.
Yeah. It's like, you didn't know that wasn't how it's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
It was the same, honestly, it was the same situation with my eyes.
Mm.
For the longest time, I sat in the front of the room, not because I was a giant nerd. I wanted to be a chemist when I was a kid. Who am I kidding? But I did it because I couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I finally got glasses, my parents driving me back home, and I was sitting in the passenger seat, and I went, oh my gosh. I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can see individual blades of grass. My mom cried because she was like, oh my God. But the school never caught it.
Right.
Because here was the thing, is I would memorize the eye chart.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm Rain Man.
Yeah.
87.
242 toothpicks.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's just what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm having this surgery done. I went in, and, you know, I go, they kept me in the next day at the ENT. Shout out, great insurance. And the doctor's also the surgeon. She's like, all right, let's go ahead and do this. They shoot this spray in your nose, which is kind of like Afrin, but like on another level.
Uh-huh.
And number one, did you know Afrin is highly addictive?
Well, you're not supposed to use it for more than like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got to use it every hour for 3 days.
Eesh.
And I'm like, it makes you feel good, apparently. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to be jacked up because of the surgery. Anyways, they check the left side and they're like, you've got like 100% airflow on the left side. I go, yeah, no, I've never had any issues. She goes, so what would you say like your airflow is on the right side? And I was like, 60, 65%. Like, I definitely notice it now that I'm more aware of it.
Right.
And if you've never had like your nose checked, and I'm not talking about the doctor where they just stick like the, you know, the one they put in your nose and your ears, like do that check. She did that after the spray and like takes your nasal lining and like it just like calms down. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, this feels good. She's like, yeah, you're still not good. Like on the right side. She goes, let's go ahead and take a look at this. And they take this scope that is about 18 inches long. It looks like some alien probe.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like the early COVID tests.
Bro, on steroids.
Tickle your brain.
This thing was in my brain stem, and it's a camera. And she starts it like, you know, up about an inch.
Oh.
And then like 2 inches. And then it felt like it was like 12 inches in my brain. And
no, thank you.
I got some version of, like, let me put this in cartoon terms for you. Your nose takes a right turn at Albuquerque. And long story short, there's like a U-joint in my nose because I have a piece of cartilage that's in there that completely jacks everything up. So they're going to go in. So my hip surgery for the first one, my right one, which is the worst of the two by orders of magnitude,
mm-hmm.
that was supposed to be a 45-minute long arthroscopic surgery that ended up being 5 hours and 40 minutes.
That sounds a lot longer.
They found, I've mentioned this before, I had over 100 tears from the front of my groin to the back of my glutes, and my labrum was completely gone, avascular necrosis, my hips are fried. So this surgery is supposed to be an hour and a half. Why? My nose is very small.
Well, yeah, but it's delicate up there.
So here's what they're doing. If you're eating, sorry. They're going to shave a chunk.
Earmuffs.
Yeah. They're going to go in, cut my nasal lining away, and shave away bone in the bottom of my nose. And I'm like, that sounds like it sucks.
Yeah. Well, that's getting way up there, too.
Well, that's just the front part. And then there's a.
Well, because you got to go, you got to travel a ways till you get to the bone,
right?
Not just cartilage.
Exactly. And then they're going to shave away this bump of cartilage in the top.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, I go, what are the potential drawbacks? She goes, well, infection. I go, yeah, I'm aware of those. I've had 15 surgeries like that. That's nothing new.
Yeah.
She goes, well, I've done thousands of these and it's only happened twice. And I go, but she goes, sometimes they don't heal all the way through. And you get a hole in your nose, and your nose will whistle. And I'm like, pardon me? She goes, yeah, it'll whistle. I go, like, every breath? She goes, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm like, whistle while you work?
Yeah. So if you can train that to control it, guess what? They're bringing back Star Search, my dude.
Oh, right? Play hot cross buns in my nose? I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. Please, please don't let that be the thing that happens. The other one is that my voice could change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not drastically. Like, I've been doing some version of hearing my own voice for 14 years.
Right.
I know what my voice sounds like. I hate my voice.
Everybody in this profession, they always say that, whether it's radio, TV, whatever, everybody can't, nobody can stand the sound of their own voice.
I mean, because you edit stuff, or like when I'm talking now, I have headphones on, not so I can just hear you or Harris. Mm-hmm. It's so we can hear ourselves, so we can get our feedback and all those kind of things and
right.
make sure that things are coming. It's an in-ear monitor. I do the same thing on TV. I hate my voice, but I also know that I'm nasally when I talk, and I
don't think you're that nasally.
It's there. You know, when you hear it all the time, you pick up on all the idiosyncrasies and all those things. Tiff did an impersonation of me over the weekend, which I did not find very funny. I was like,
hitting a little too close to
home.
I was
like, I know that's what I sound like. You don't need to do that to me. That's rude.
Be cool, honey bunny.
Yeah, I was like, we don't need to do that for everybody else to see, particularly me. I know what it is. But that going away, and they said the resonance in your voice will change.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have said that they can't hear me sometimes when I talk. I don't project. Even though I'm loud, I don't really project my voice.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that will change.
Well, there's just some of those times where, like, at the end of a thought or a sentence or whatever,
I trail off.
You just manage to trail off. Right.
I'm also a guy who moves around a ton. And so these, you know, standstill mics, not my friend.
Well, yeah, and you got to talk into it.
Yes.
Into it.
Which, again, somebody stole my mic cover, Joe. Put it back.
Somebody's not sour.
It's mine. I spit all over it. I had to grab the random spare. Look, God knows how many people have used this. And I've been because look, over the course of a show, you will eventually turn your head and drag your face or lips across this.
Right. Yeah.
It happens.
Yep.
I want it to be my face that drags across this and nobody else's.
Yeah, one time a while back, I think in a show changeover, I think mine got absconded with and I got left with the other one. Something just flew off this thing right as I said that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, so.
But it's been months.
Yeah, I just.
So now it's mine again.
Yeah, right. But still, don't steal my mic cover.
Yeah.
Joe. I know it's you. I accuse Sprague of doing something illegal.
See, that's why I don't understand how you all keep those in there just in that bin. It's like, how do you know whose is whose?
Well, all of ours are different.
You know?
Mine doesn't have the little lip on the end. It's a flat one. It's the only flat one in the bunch.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I keep mine in a separate compartment in my lunch bag.
Right.
Where it just lives there by itself. And it comes out when I'm here and that's it.
Rob, because he's a germaphobe, keeps his in his little bag over here.
Exactly.
And he also has, you know, the way he arranges things or doesn't arrange things over here, and that if you leave anything else over here that's not his, it will not be here when you come in next time. It all moves over here.
What the hell is this? I don't need this.
Yeah, this is not mine.
Get this out
of my
face.
My space.
What are you guys doing here?
Yeah, I'm having surgery on Christmas Eve, and I'm not worried about it, but all of my family members, my sister worked for an ENT before, and she's like, I don't think you realize how bad this is going to be. So hopefully I'll be back on Wednesday, you know, knock on whatever this is.
Yeah.
I managed to kill an entire segment with this.
Marble.
So, coming up next, we will dive into that Bears-Packers game because I watched that from the K2 studio on a very small screen and absolutely lost my mind with what Caleb Williams did to close that fourth quarter and then in overtime and put on a hell of a performance in a game that mattered. We'll get to that next year on the firm of Harrison Brang here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're up against it here, so I'm going to keep this one a little bit shorter. I want to give the Bears-Packers game a full segment, so we'll get to that next. As I was prepping for the show, I was digging through some stuff, and I showed you this, Rust. And the Jags-Broncos game, we'll get to that game a little bit later today because that game deserves a segment. Because, holy crap, Duval! Jags is for real.
My touchdown Jesus right there.
Jags kicker Cam Little, pregame, in Denver, at altitude. Hey, Jeff, did you know Denver, mile high? Do you know they play at 5,280 feet?
No, I only hear it from the Nuggets about every single time the Blazers play them, and they put it on their jerseys even, just in case you didn't
Good
know.
Good gravy. With that said, Cam Little hit the 68-yarder earlier this year. He was warming up for the game. He was hitting it from the 38-yard line on the opposite side of the field. 72 yards, and it was good from 7 or 8 more. That is absolutely bonkers.
Bananas. Yeah. Bananas.
He's hitting it, and this thing is pured. If you're a golfer, when you've got that approach shot, and you sky that thing a mile in the air, and you know it's got all the backspin in the world on it, and you carry it past the pin, it lands, and it just goes zzz, right back at the pin, you go, That's the look that Cam Little had on his face when he hit this ball. He looks over his coach and shoots him the, And it's like, how does that happen?
It's like the Happy Gilmore, somebody's closer.
Happy learned how to putt. It's like, a dude named Little kicking the ball that far.
Yeah, Cam Little got big foot.
Goodness. It's the contrast in kicking right now, whether it's Young Wei Koo or the Miami kicker stubbing their toe and not getting a kick off.
Yeah.
To this in the span of 24 hours.
And, going back to the Young Wei Koo too, or Young Wei Koo, sorry. It's amazing how it's like he's gone full Chuck Knoblauch on us, because that guy, he used to be automatic.
Oh, yeah, for the Falcons, he was unreal.
Unreal. And now it's like he's just another run-of-the-mill kicker that is trying to hang on.
It's kicking camps have kind of exploded over the last 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. There's still only, I think, two that are like the big ones. It hasn't gone like full 7-on-7, Elite 11, explosion, which, look, man, if you've got a kid who's got a leg, for the love of God, get them into these camps.
Yeah. Like, I remember even in high school, my brother was a soccer player, and I think one year, his senior year, he decided to go try out for the kicker on the football team. He wound up not doing it because he decided he didn't want to. But, yeah, it's, it's – and in my class, too, we had our kicker. He was, like, automatic, and he set the I forget which year in high school I was, but set the Oregon State High School record for field goal distance. It was 44 yards, but at that point, it was the record.
I mean, 44 yards in high school, was it 57 years ago?
God, I hate you.
You're 94?
Yes.
Hey, so you're only 8 years.
Graduated in 94. Yeah. I am not 94 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're thank you very much.
94 years old.
Anyway, shout out Maksum Herman.
You played with Tungsten Armadillo.
Yeah, exactly. I called his games.
Tungsten Armadillo winds up for the pitch. God, I love an old-timey 1920s gangster voice. It is awesome.
Well, that's one of the things that I love about Doc Parker.
He has one of those voices.
He sounds like 1950s AM radio.
He does, and it's so good.
It's fantastic. And the guy knows everything.
He
is an encyclopedia. Yeah.
I have done one baseball broadcast in my entire life at NBC Sports Northwest. Ron Wilson got stuck somewhere, and they looked at me because I was there doing a Blazers game already, and they said, "Hey, dude, the Beavers are in a national championship game." It was the game where they dropped the ball in the outfield.
Ooh.
Arkansas.
Ouch.
Well, Arkansas did. I don't want to say
Well, still.
And Oregon State goes on to win a national title.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there watching this game because, it's Oregon State in the national title game. And, talking bees, baby. And they're like, hey, you want to do this? And so they gave me a Beavers polo, and I hopped on with the radio play-by-voice of the Portland Trailblazers, Travis Demers.
Right on.
And I got to have Parker on air following a national championship, and I just got to sit there and giggle.
Yeah, right?
While he gets to just wax poetically about the Beavers winning a national title game.
You had your own little Chris Farley show there.
Oh, yeah. Remember the time? Remember the time? And it was so funny because it's the only one I've ever done. And it was like, I'm like, I'm one and done, baby. National title game. Put it up on the board. Call it good.
Yes, exactly. Not tap on that experience.
No. But again, the state of kickers right now in the NFL and in college, it's
never better.
It's also, I don't think I've ever seen a wider swath.
Yeah.
The guys who are truly great are just bonkers.
Yes.
Bonkers, right? It's just... You know, I was down at USC, Oregon, and coming into the game, USC's kicker was a Lou Groza Award finalist. He had missed one field goal, and it was a 59-yarder, and then he shanked that thing from 26 yards.
Eesh.
And you're like, Atticus Abington missed his 32 or 33-yarder, and they get the penalty, and that ends up not counting. Meanwhile, we talked about it, Atticus has been an absolute monster for Oregon.
Yeah.
One of the most reliable kickers in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it is so weird.
And that's nice for Oregon to have because that hasn't been traditionally in their bag of tricks.
They haven't gone the full on, we're going to have an open competition on campus.
Right.
But they've had some scarier moments with kickers over the last 20 years.
Yes.
But when you watch a guy like Cam Little, if you just search it, you will see this guy hit a 72-yard field goal that was probably good from 81.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And again, in altitude, because just to repeat, we don't know if you're aware.
Yeah.
Denver is the mile-high city.
I'm telling you right now, that kick was good from 70-plus, even not at
mile-high. Yeah, he cleared it, probably by 10 yards.
Just holy crap.
Yeah.
So speaking of holy crap, Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers, it wasn't an electric game until it was. NFC North supremacy on the line between the Packers and Bears, and Caleb Williams, under pressure, gets it done. We'll get to that next, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And I'll tell you right now, Chicago Bears and their fans were wondering if they could count on Caleb Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, you can count on Caleb Williams to make one of the most obscene throws you have ever seen to win a game. Absolutely inch-perfect dot to DJ Moore in overtime. PFF came out and said it is one of the highest-graded throws they have had in their metric. They only have three throws, and I think it said with a +2 rating. This was one of them. That throw was un-freaking believable. How did they get there, though? Well, Jordan Love went full Aaron Rodgers, had his head mashed off the turf with his chin strap over his face, and you got the record scratch of, you're wondering how I got here. He got his brain pan scrambled. Christian Watson out, Josh Jacobs limited, Malik Willis comes in and honestly was pretty damn good considering. 9 of 11, 121, and a touchdown. Ran the ball another 10 times for 44 yards. I mean, you're getting, 150-plus yards in a relief effort while you're missing your weapons. What the problem was, they couldn't hold on to the bleeping ball. Three fumbles, they lose one. But Caleb Williams, in the fourth quarter, lofts a ball into the corner of the end zone that was just, I don't know how you can make that throw at that point in the game and put that much air on it and trust your receiver to get there. Jadae Walker catches it in the corner of the end zone, and nobody's there because the coverage just fell apart. But goodness gracious, Caleb Williams ends the game 19 of 34, 250 yards, two touchdowns, and two absolutely incredible throws. The Bears are able to do what the Bears do, breaking up their running game, 26 carries for a 150, almost 6 yards per carry. Meanwhile, the Packers, despite not having their weapons, 44 carries, a 192, 4.4 yards per carry, but nobody could score. It was a 6-0 Green Bay lead at halftime, and it was it was ugly. And you know, the weather in Chicago wasn't great, but it wasn't what we had last week. When Harris and I flew to Baltimore, where there's still a fair amount of snow on the ground, you saw how absolutely brutally cold it was in the stands. The wind chill, I think, was like -8, -10, something along those lines. And we talked about this Chicago Bears team and what was going to be on their plate over the final 5 weeks of the season. They have now, they're in the home stretch of it. They had the Eagles, Packers, Browns, excuse me, it was after the Packers game where they lost 28-21 in Green Bay. We said, sorry, it was after they beat the Eagles 24-15. We're like, they're going to have to play the Packers twice. How is this going to go? Because their final stretch of the season was at Green Bay versus the Browns, at home against the Packers, then closing on the road in San Francisco and at home against the Lions. In that stretch so far, they are 2-1. They lost by a score in Green Bay, 28-21. They throttle the Browns 31-3, and they beat the Packers 22-16 with that overtime throw. The Bears are good.
Yeah. I will say they're not quite out of the woods yet because their last two games, I mean, I got to look.
Niners and Lions. Some,
yes, Niners and Lions. And one of those is at the Niners and then hosting the Lions. So I need to, you know, take a look at the old playoff scenarios and such and tiebreakers. But
they have an 89% chance.
That's a rough last two games.
Yes, it is. They have an 89% chance to win the division. They have secured a playoff spot. They have an 11% chance to earn the number one seed. The Seahawks right now in the driver's seat there, the 47.6%, 20% remaining for both the 49ers and Rams. You've, the three NFC West teams are right there. So it's one of those situations where if it certainly goes their way, the Bears could end up as number one seed. But right now, it looks like they are very much in the driver's seat for the number two seed in the NFC. Who the hell saw that coming?
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, though, too. Like I said, you got the Niners and
Lions.
There we go. Thank you. So they would need to lose out, and the Packers would need to win out. But here's who the Packers have the final 2 weeks. They are hosting the Ravens and then at the Vikings. So, look,
and the Ravens have to win.
There's a chance that they could win out and the Bears could lose out. And then guess what happens? That's the old flippity-flop. And then all of a sudden you got the Packers on top of the division.
Which, again, this is why it mattered that they win this game. Because now you split the season series with the Packers. You go 1-1. Each team wins at home. But for me, you know, Harris and I, we've been talking about Caleb Williams all season in the sense of he's just like, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth. He said some version of maybe it's just some kind of bias I have against Caleb. I don't know what it is. I just don't like him. And I understand all the stuff around Caleb. Like, he's just he's a different cat.
Well, it's like I just kind of don't buy Jordan Love at this point. I'm not ready to get on the Love train.
Yeah. No, I'm probably more there with you. Love can be very good. He's never really bad. It's just sometimes he just disappears.
Right.
But this Bears team, as of right now, have the fifth best offense in yards per game at 371.1, just ahead of the Patriots, just behind the Bills, to kind of put like in perspective where they are. Okay. Passing wise, they are 14th. So they are in the upper half of the league. They're right there. They are sandwiched in between. Here's a fun one for you. The Bears are sandwiched in between the Chargers and the Jags. That's Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
If I told you that Caleb Williams' passing yards per game was sandwiched in between Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, what would you say?
He's having himself a nice little season.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then again, rushing-wise, the Bears are the second-best rushing team in the league.
Can he become Chicago's first 4,000-yard passer?
It's going to be close. I was pulling this up earlier, and I closed the tab. Stats. They've got two games left.
Because what, never had a 4,000-yard passer and never had a 30-touchdown passer, right?
He's not going to do it. He's at 3,400 on the dot. Okay, again, let's...
I wouldn't say he's not gonna. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
It's unlikely.
Okay. Perspective-wise,
mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is sandwiched in between these two quarterbacks mm-hmm. in yards so far through 15 games. He has 6 less passing yards than Josh Allen.
Okay.
He has 19 more passing yards than Jordan Love.
Well, look, one of those two is not like the other, but...
Caleb is 11th in passing yardage in the NFL. Yeah.
Great. There we go. Perfect. Right there in that sweet spot in the middle of the league.
He has 2 less touchdowns than Josh Allen passing,
mm-hmm.
4 less interceptions. He has the same touchdown and interceptions as Jordan Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say the Ben Johnson experiment's going pretty damn well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And let them grow a little bit more together and see what happens. Where is he at touchdowns-wise?
Just 20, curious. 23.
Okay. So
23 touchdowns, 6
picks.
So
he's not hitting 30 either.
Very unlikely.
So the streak continues for those Chicago Bears.
And again, Caleb's still leaving a lot on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm with Harris in the sense of I understand why there's a hesitancy.
Yeah.
Because he's consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. He needs to put it all together.
But that winning touchdown throw, that's why I'm in on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's maybe 3 other guys in the league that can make that throw. Off platform, rolling out, planting his foot, and throwing an inch perfect dime over the shoulder to DJ Moore
mm-hmm.
to take control of the NFC North. Hell of a game. All right, coming up next, we're getting to Web Gems. And this is a sports adjacent story. I just want to talk about it because it's really fun to watch a really irritating guy get punched in the face. We'll get to that next here on the firm of Harrison Rang, 105.1, The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, today's Web Jam is from the world of boxing, well, at least boxing adjacent, as Anthony Joshua, actual boxer.
Yeah, I think there was one boxer in the ring.
Yeah. Beat the ever-living crap out of Jake Paul, and mwah! Let's hear it.
Not that much is going to happen. And it almost... Oh, there's a left hook. And down goes Paul!
6, 7, 8, 9.
Mamma mia!
Oh, you hate to see it.
Oh, you just hate to see it. So Jake Paul took on a real fighter who's actually got real juice left in Anthony Joshua. And this thing went 6 rounds because Jake Paul ran for his life for 4 rounds. Wrapped him up, seemingly tried to shoot a double leg takedown multiple times during the fight, to the point where the refs stopped him and broke them up and said, "Fans didn't pay to watch this crap." Anthony Joshua said he was going to hurt him, and it appears he broke Jake Paul's jaw.
Yeah, I think in 2 spots, it sounds like.
That thud you heard was a 2-piece combo, a left-right, with the right cross lands right on the back of his jaw, and it snapped him.
So how much of this going 6 rounds do you think is like a legit boxing match, or...
I think there's maybe some contractual allowances for those first 4 rounds.
I don't want to say that maybe Netflix went to Joshua's camp and said it, but maybe Jake Paul's camp, maybe it was both, kind of said, hey, let's... can we put on a little bit of a show at least?
First 4 rounds, Jake Paul ran for his life. 5th round, Anthony Joshua started landing some shots. He wobbled him, dropped him to the mat 2 different times. It was a 3rd time when he fell to a knee to kind of buy some time, and the ref said, "Nah, dog, I need you up."
Yeah.
Need you up. And then he finished him with a little
I'm
combo.
I'm not losing a fighter in the ring on my watch.
Nope. Need you to stand up. You're not going to sit there and be on a knee right now taking a break. Joshua landed a little combo at the end of the round that staggered him again. And before he landed that, he landed another combo that rocked him and almost dropped him. He backed him into that corner, and that right cross, whoo, you can hear. Can you play the first, like, 10 seconds of that again? Because you can hear the whap, whap of his face.
Not that much is going to happen. And it almost, oh, there's a left hook.
That sound, that off. Isn't Anthony Joshua doing the pss, pss, yeah. That's the sound of his glove with that left hook and right cross. Face. Whap, whap. And that's just pure spit flying. And again, it does sound like Jake Paul's jaw is broken. And if you have not seen it, just go on Twitter or IG or wherever you go. You can find it everywhere because it is a nasty, nasty 1-2. And you see the head snap and you can tell Jake Paul goes down and he's on his knee. He ain't getting up.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, you really hate to see it.
Really hate to see it.
Look, the whole, like, I do want to give Jake Paul some credit for stepping into the ring with Anthony Joshua.
No, see, no. No.
No?
No.
Why?
Because he has it so built into his head that he thinks he belongs there. So, no, I'm not giving him credit for being that stupid.
Well, here's
the thing. He thought that he could legitimately go in there and hold his own.
With him.
With him. And so if you're that big of a dumbass, no, I don't give you any credit. But it's still fun to watch your ass get knocked out.
That part is very much true. I will give him credit because stepping into the ring, whether it's the ring or the octagon, you know, Suka told old Will Ortner multiple times, you can come on down to the gym and roll with me whenever you want, whenever you're ready, big boy. I saw a video on socials last week of this guy that was like a 15-0 like street fighter. Get in an octagon with like a 15-year MMA fighter. Same weight. They're both like a 145, uh-huh. You know, the skinny guys. And what that MMA fighter wore like 14-ounce gloves, and he let the guy wear the 2.5-ounce like UFC gloves. Mm-hmm. Even with that, what he did to him was vicious.
Yeah.
It is a different level. This is where I'm giving Jake Paul credit. It's one thing for two dudes to go settle their scrap, go settle their beef in a boxing gym. It is another to go with a trained fighter. Is it another just galaxy to step into the ring with a professional fighter? And that's how you get your jaw broken.
Yeah.
This guy wakes up wanting to kill you for months. He is training to knock your head off. This is not some guy who doesn't know how to transition every ounce of his power into a 3x3 square inch pad. And that's exactly what happened. And so I will give him credit because it takes some balls. It takes some huevos, some cojones, some marbles to step in the ring with that and know that can happen.
Yeah. Now, I didn't quite see who Andrew Tate stepped in the ring with.
Yeah, he got folded up like a pretzel.
Yes, but he also, in another case of, you hate to see it.
Yeah. Look, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
I didn't see it. The only thing I saw from that was two things.
Mm-hmm.
Two single still frames, one of him face down on the canvas, and the other one was him once he was finally up and how mangled his face was.
His face was a punching bag.
Yeah.
I watched the Tyson-Paul fight.
I did begrudgingly.
Because I was like, what if Mike Tyson at 60 years old does have one punch left in him?
That's what I wanted to see so bad.
And that's and Anthony Joshua had a lot of them.
That's what Netflix was counting on, too.
Anthony Joshua had a lot of them punches left. And he called out Tyson Fury at the end of that fight, which I'm telling you right now, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua are going to get in the ring together. Sign me up.
Right.
Sign me up. Let the gypsy fight again. I'm all here for it. Tyson Fury, he's on a card. Roll him out there, baby.
Is that his real name? Like, is that his given government name, Fury?
Yeah.
Because if so, like, you are destined for
Deontay Wilder.
I'm just saying, yeah, but you're destined for a certain profession if that is your given name.
I mean, Deontay Wilder is another great name for a boxer.
Yeah, Tyson Luke Fury.
God, you'd love to see it.
Born in Withenshaw, UK. Withenshaw.
Yeah, he actually comes from a gypsy family.
Mm-hmm.
So they were. I believe his generation wasn't travelers, but
His children are named Venezuela Fury, ooh, Valencia Amber. Mm. Prince Adonis Amaziah and Prince John James Fury.
who gets to actually be called Prince Fury? They have to fight to figure it out?
Well, I think it sounds like the first prince, the Prince Adonis Amaziah, sounds like the Amaziah is the last name. So I'm guessing he has two children with a certain person, and then the other two are from separate ones, each on their own even.
I mean, I think I'm carrying the Fury last name.
And his siblings, you got Tommy Fury, Shane Fury, and John Fury Jr.
I'd be kind of disappointed if I was the Fury Jr.
I don't know, man. I'd go by John Fury Jr.
Well, I mean, like, your Fury is lesser then.
Yeah, but is it? Want to try that out?
I mean, I'm good.
Want to try that out?
Look, man, I
you want to go tell John Fury Jr. that you are lesser than?
You are a lesser Fury. Just saying.
All right, keyboard warrior.
Now look, I've gotten on rings before. I've been hit. I know what it's like. It's not fun.
No.
It's not fun. Overseas, we had a boxing ring, man. And you, look, I got in a ring with a former Golden Gloves champion out of the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, buddy, there are levels to hand speed.
Yeah. Oh, that being said, I am never stepping foot in a boxing ring.
It's fun.
Ever.
Look, I am a big proponent, shockingly, of combat sports. Wrestling, MMA, boxing, in the sense of, like, it sorts you out. You know, yeah. I've said for a long time, that's getting fair. Hit in the face, well, it will change your worldview and how you act and how you treat people.
That's the Mike Tyson phrase, right?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a plan until they get hit.
Yep.
It's very true, and it's true of life. But it's also, I think particularly for men, I think it is a good thing to have those sports because there's nobody else you can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure it out, or if you don't, you learn how to battle a defeat.
Right.
That's life, man. I'm not sitting here just like, oh, macho. Like, that's life. Sometimes you get hit, man. Physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
How you battle back afterwards, or how you fold. You know? Those. Mm-hmm. Anybody who ever gets in a one-on-one combat sport, even a Jake Paul, I will give you a level of respect because most people don't do that. And it does something to you. It sorts you out in the pecking order of how you look at yourself, how you treat yourself, and what kind of respect and dignity that you're willing to put forward, not only for yourself, but for an opponent. So that's kind of where I fall in all this stuff. All right. Oh, boy, this show's actually kind of flying by for a solo. I kind of like this. All right, it is a Monday. We are hairless, not hairless, although... Yeah, no,
I definitely am not.
I'm the only hairless one here. Who am I kidding?
I definitely am not.
But coming up next, we will keep it in the NFL because Duval showed up, and we'll let Jeff Rest wax poetically about one Trevor Lawrence, who through the last 3 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, backdoor MVP campaign. We'll get to that next here on the firm of Harrison Marang, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.